This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shemuel Bet, Chapter 4. Two officers of Ishboshet, who here is called merely the son of Shaul, named Rechav and Ba'ana, plot to assassinate him. They manage to gain entry into his home, either disguised as wheat merchants or together with some wheat merchants who had come to call. While he's enjoying his afternoon nap, Rechav and Ba'ana kill Ishboshet, decapitate him, and escape undetected. They bring his severed head to David and present it to him, declaring that his rival and enemy has been eliminated once and for all. David swears by God that he will deal with this news in what he deems to be the appropriate manner. He compares this situation to the circumstances recounted in chapter 1, wherein the Amalekite boy brought him tidings of Shaul's demise, hoping to receive reward. There, David ordered the lad executed for confessing to the crime of having killed the anointed one of Hashem. How much more so, David reasoned, when two men claim to have murdered an innocent man on his bed in the middle of the day, hoping ostensibly to be rewarded, should they be deserving of death. David instructs his officers to kill Rechav and Ba'ana. He has their hands and feet cut off and hung by the pool in Hebron, while Ishboshet's head is buried in the grave of Avner ben Ner. No explicit motive is ascribed to Rechav and Ba'ana for the murder that they committed. In the context, it seems reasonable to assume that they were disenchanted with the ineffective leadership of Ishboshet, and that the last straw was the defection and subsequent death of Avner ben Ner, realizing that their only hope for a bright future was with an affiliation with David, and hoping to accelerate the process of his ascension to power. Rechav and Ba'ana probably felt that they were doing a great act of heroism and national service in assassinating Ishboshet. Nevertheless, David remains true to form, having only words of condemnation and punishment for those who commit unjust actions on his behalf. Without hesitation, he has the perpetrators of the crime killed. This once again emphasizes his commitment to justice and fairness and his rejection of the kind of partisan politics and cronyism that had tainted Shaul's government. Hanging the hands and feet of the criminals for display sends a message of zero tolerance for violent and unethical behavior, particularly when it appears to serve political ends and that can therefore be misinterpreted as a form of state-sponsored terrorism. The measures taken by David clarified the fact that he neither ordered nor endorsed the murder of his rival to advance his own agenda, and that he considers such behavior morally reprehensible and a contradiction to all he stands for. Burying Ishboshet's head in the grave of Avner was an interesting course of action. While Avner's final wish was indeed to be associated with the kingdom of David that was based in Hebron, one might have expected that Ishboshet would want his remains to be laid to rest in Machanaim, or somewhere else within the boundaries of the tribe of Benjamin. Perhaps David felt that in his heart of hearts, or in his brain, Ishboshet acknowledged David's right to the monarchy and knew that the future was with the Davidic dynasty. Ishboshet's willingness to allow David to take Michal back suggested that he was himself conflicted about the role he had been chosen to play, a role that forced him to stand in opposition to David. Here we find evidence of the great sensitivity of David and his giving credit to Ishboshet for good intentions that he had, even though those intentions were never outwardly mentioned or expressed.